Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. My name is Chris Hogan, and I'm excited to host another great episode for you today. Today on the podcast, we're doing something a little bit different. I had an opportunity to sit down with some real-world entree leaders, people that are running real businesses, and to have a conversation, to kind of learn more about their story. And so we brought Daniel Tardy in to have a conversation along with us. Daniel, how are you today?
Chris, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Listen, we had an opportunity to sit down and talk with some entree leadership alumni.
Sure.
And we wanted to take a little bit different approach, kind of that casual talk.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the one thing that we've noticed with this podcast is we've had world-class leaders and speakers and authors come in and share from an authoritative standpoint what they're talking on all around the country. And we also have started to realize that we have a lot of brilliant business people and business minds within the Entree Leadership Tribe who have fantastic stories. And so over time, we want to experiment with this format where we start to bring in some other stories from people who are entree leaders who are winning in the marketplace that may not be a high-profile, nationally recognized speaker or author. We'll still do those. But we want to shine the spotlight on small business owners who are winning in the marketplace. And so that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah, and these individuals are people that have applied the entree leadership principles, and they're having unbelievable success.
Yep, that's right. And the couple that we're going to hear an interview, you sat down with them, and we're going to listen to that today. I had the privilege of getting to know these guys a couple years ago. It's Brian and Shannon Miles, and they have a company based out of Atlanta that, to me, was just fascinating when I heard about it. They do virtual assistant support. And so they support businesses, leaders and pastors and, you know, high impact players in the marketplace who need to delegate, but maybe they're not ready to bring on a full-time personal administrative assistant. And I heard about these guys. They came through and inquired about coming to one of our events and eventually came to our Entree Leadership Master Series event that we did in Tucson a couple of years ago. And we just became friends, and I was really interested in what they were doing because literally they have hundreds of people working for them who are supporting various leaders around the country from a totally virtual standpoint. And I know that with a lot of small business owners that we work with, that's a typical pain point they're expressing to us. You know, when is that right time to hire somebody full time? You know, I'm not sure I'm ready to make that leap or that commitment yet. And so we just saw a natural congruency with what Brian and Shannon were doing with their business. And they certainly felt that and sensed that when they came to our event. A lot of business leaders were kind of collaborating and rallying around them going, hey, tell us more about what you guys are doing, because this sounds like a service that we could really benefit from. And in today's day and age, there's really not a reason that a business leader can't do this with, you know, all the things out there, the services that are available, like what Brian and Shannon are providing. So it's a neat service, but that's not so much what we're focusing on today. We want to focus on their business story because these guys are just really crushing it.
They really are. I mean, as sitting down and talking with them, you really had a feel for some of the challenges they faced, but also how they've applied the entree leadership principles, and it's helped them get ready for this explosion of growth that they've experienced. And so take a listen to Brian and Shannon. I think you'll hear some unique perspectives from them. So in your bio, you know, you say your company started with a feeling to do something different. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, for me, I really enjoyed watching business owners and entrepreneurs that were successful. I paid attention to their stories, and I just, my heart naturally gravitated to those stories. And then I always had in the back of my mind, well, I've heard the story of Sam Walton, and in it, he started Walmart by his late 30s, and I always thought, well, I want to start a business and try it before I'm in my late 30s. And I just wanted to take a risk at one point in my life and just say that at least I tried.
I always wanted to own something with Brian. I wasn't exactly sure what that was or when it should be. For 10 years, I worked at McKesson, which is a Fortune 14 company. I worked on the medical software side. And my last 5 years I spent in project management. And so the whole nature of project management is to squeeze risk out of initiatives and programs that you're working on. I'm not a risk taker. But in 2010, I could really feel God moving me to make a change, whether that was a different position at McKesson, another company. And what I realized over the course of that year is it was a bigger change than that. It was a opportunity to leave that full-time, stable job and start this business.
So, Chris, they're talking about taking risk. We see this so often to be a consistent thing that entrepreneurs have, that they're willing to take on that risk. Do you think that that's a danger when businesses are starting out, that they take on too much risk or they're jumping out with just a feeling?
Well, I think, Daniel, you have to be careful. I think the calculated risk, I think, is the key. You know, when you've got to perceive that there's a need in the marketplace for your service or your product, and you've got to do some homework. You know, you and I know entrepreneurs are risk takers by nature. But I think you have to be smart. I don't think you have to have, take 3 years to get something up and going. But I think you got to do your homework. I think you got to be prepared because things may not go the way you plan. I had an opportunity to ask Brian about what he did as he was going through this process of bringing his dream to life. Did he surround himself with smart people, people that have knowledge, people that could really speak into his life, into his business? And he gave some great insight to this. Take a listen.
In the spring of 2010, I can remember, you know, being diligent about reaching out to smart business people that were outside kind of my industry as a whole, because I didn't want them knowing I had these stirrings. And I went to some guys that I call mentors that care greatly about us as friends that have been wildly successful in business. Mm-hmm. And we just pumped them full of questions, and they gave us great counsel. And, you know, at the time I was on a management team of a company that was doing very well, but it had started to feel the impact of the recession. And it just kind of felt like, okay, maybe this is kind of the time where I need to, you know, go out and make it happen before I'm 38 like Sam Walton. The non-business friends of ours, like the ones that weren't in business, they all thought we were
crazy
lunatics. But the ones that had been in business and successful saw this as a great opportunity. And we kind of shared our ideas and how we saw the workforce emerging and what our ideas were with that. And they just kind of said, go make it happen. And in terms of advice and the things we sought, question-wise, it was like, you know, should we fund this 100% out of our retirement? You know, we had built up a nest egg, but we didn't want to also give away our equity early on. Another big one for us was how do you scale this and be agile and be realistic about when you can get the profit as an organization, and kind of having them speak into our life in that way. And what that translated to practically was we were going to have to reduce our incomes by half, which was a sizable hit to our family.
50%?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a big hit.
Yeah, but we've been very intentional about our personal finances, so we were in a position that we could take the risk for a season of time.
All right, so let's talk about that. I love that they played that card early on. They said, hey, we don't know everything, so we've got to find other people that we can put ourselves around who are going to have the answers. And Chris, you know as well as I do, you can screw up a lot of stuff in business and survive that failure. But I think if you screw this one up, it's the assumption that you can go it alone and be successful, that you have the answers that you need, that you have the network, that you have the resources, and you don't need help. And that pride is almost always the thing that leads to a business's downfall. I mean, we've seen that.
Daniel, I couldn't agree more. Pride is dangerous. And I think one of the things that Entree Leadership has really done is it's put together a network of like-minded people, people that have the heart to do something that matters, people that want to put a product or service out there that they're proud of.
Chris, I'm so passionate about this idea of business owners being connected to each other. We, for years, with our events and the book and everything with Entree Leadership, have been talking to business leaders. And frankly, I think we've given them a lot of great stuff. And we're proud to say that we've had a lot of good content that we've put out. But the magical thing that's starting to happen on EntreeLeadership.com and this new direct access free membership that we have, it's a community for small business owners, is business owners in various industries, various company sizes, and in different geographical parts of the country are starting to connect with each other. Just the way that Brian did early on, he said, hey, I want to know what I don't know. And so he went out and he sought out the advice of other business leaders. And that's what's starting to take place organically within the Entree Leadership tribe. And I'm so jacked up about the future of where that's going with Entree Leadership that it really is becoming a tribe. And we want to encourage leaders and business owners that are in the marketplace. And whether it's the Entree Leadership family or someone else's family, that doesn't matter. The key is get plugged in, stay plugged in. Make sure you have lifelines with people who are smarter than you and who have a little bit more latitude than you might in their business experience, because you can learn, you can go to school on their mistakes. You can learn so many things the hard way, or you can choose to learn from somebody that's been there before.
I like that phrase, go to school on someone else's mistakes, because when you have community, you have people speaking into your life, and then you have the opportunity to speak into other people's lives, and it's sharing, you know, let's all share and grow together. one of the things that I noticed when I was talking to Brian and Shannon is that they just didn't dive in. They had a point of reference with a niche in a community. They had an idea of where the needs were. And so they had done some research. They did their recon. And so you don't want to just dive in. You have to go in prepared. You have to be aware and really be focused on serving a certain area and serving it with excellence.
You know, the idea for EA Help actually came from personal experience. Brian worked with a executive assistant for a number of years, and it worked very well. She was in Charlotte. He was in Atlanta. And we knew that if this model worked in business, it could be transferable to church if done right. And, you know, oftentimes pastors are limited in the resources that they have access to, what they can pay, what they can afford. So when we first started working with churches around the country, it became obvious that not only there was a need to have virtual executive assistants, but there were a slew of people equipped and willing to provide virtual executive services. So that the benefit of the service on the whole is that you're able to have part-time assistants that's scalable to your ministry, your business, and be able to be a more effective leader by having somebody come alongside you and partner with you in this capacity.
Hmm. So you really have to have somebody that's willing to trust, and you guys have trust as your model.
Absolutely.
How do you convey that to people? How do you let them know that, hey, we are able to do this and do it very well?
Well, I mean, from a sales perspective, we teach our sales team to be very picky. You know, we give them permission to say no and turn prospects away when we hear yellow flags in our sales cycles. And what we've early on, we made the decision that our salespeople would be our greatest filters to protect our brand and our team. So we said, look, you don't, this is not just a sales job. This is a way to protect our team. And how we do that is, you know, if they're just coming at us with certain things in terms of just price, or, you know, they want to treat this person like a slave, or they don't see the value in this person. They see this as just a single task, you know, not an ongoing relationship where someone's going to come alongside you and serve you and not appreciate that, then we've just done a really good job to protect our EAs, which are amazing people, and our team in that process, and you know, ultimately, hopefully, our brand as well.
Daniel, I know with Entree Leadership, there's one word that really jumps out at me. All throughout the years of being here and being around Dave and you. And to me, it's serve.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can't serve in everything that you're doing, ultimately, you don't have a business service. That's why we say it's a business service. And, you know, listening to Brian, I'm blown away by their diligence and discipline to empower, not only empower their sales team, but to expect them to turn away business. That's so counterintuitive. But it's for the sake of protecting their culture and making sure that they're working with the clients that are best aligned with their business model and what their values are. And, you know, we see more often than not, and in bad cases at least, it's the business who will be anybody's vendor, the business who will take, you know, the almighty dollar. If you wave enough money, yeah, we can do that. Or we'll figure out a way to have a business service that meets that need, because we're desperate in our mindset, you know, and going, yeah, we'll take the check. We'll figure it out later. Just take the money. At all costs, take the money and we'll figure it out. And that can be a really dangerous proposition. And your salespeople are the worst about it because they're on commission. And so they're looking, typically they are, right? So they're looking for all ways possible to get more money in the door. And I love that spirit. I think that's fantastic. To have that sales mindset and that approach. But what Brian and Shannon have done here, and what we encourage the sales teams within the Entree Leadership Tribe and certainly within our organization, is you've got to be willing to say no to business deals that ultimately aren't going to be the best service to your business. And if you're setting yourself up for failure to where your business can't meet that customer's need, then you're going to be sending a check back anyway.
That's right.
Short-term versus long-term thinking about the sales model.
Totally agree. And you have to focus on being relational, not just transactional. And I think that's really the lesson. And I think they got that. And they empowered their team to really protect themselves and stay focused and grow the right way.
It's a refreshing feeling to say, no, thank you. You know, there's a better alternative for you and it's not with us. And it gives you power to basically level the playing field, because we have high-powered executives that call us, and they've been told throughout their whole career that they're amazing people and they get a big head. and we just say, hey, you know, we value, thanks for calling us, but I don't think you're a good fit. And it completely levels the playing field in that process. And they go, well, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And it's a paradigm shift for them. And
it
they
is.
Go, oh, okay, yeah, you know, we've actually started teaching really great leaders how to delegate better, how to work better with their teams as a process of this business.
One of the things I appreciate about Brian and Shannon that I hope other business leaders are picking up on is the resolve to be committed to a principle in the midst of a time where it didn't necessarily seem logical. During the recession, there's a huge temptation to go overseas with their workforce, but they had a principle that they wanted to honor, which was to stay local for several reasons. And you had a chance to ask them about that.
Well, for me, before we started this business, I wanted to impact the U.S. economy. I mean, in 2010 and even before that, the economy stunk. And so I had a compelling feeling as an American citizen that I wanted to keep the dollars here in the States. You know, it seemed practical. And then I also saw it as a competitive edge also. You know, everybody else is going quickly to the Philippines and India and Guatemala and all these places and going to the bottom of price and labor. And you sacrifice quality and relationship when you do that. And so, you know, we're on the higher end of cost when you look at, you know, who we are in the market. And I'm quite okay with that because now we have global companies coming to us saying we want an American presence. You know, they may be in the UK or Australia and they're hiring us and putting an EA in the United States because they're here and they have an American presence.
This was a very personal journey for me in the sense that halfway through my career at McKesson, we were both selling, we were both traveling, and we wanted to start a family. So we were fortunate to be able to get pregnant with Rainey and have her in 2005. And so two people in sales traveling doesn't work. Something has to give. And even though I went back to work full time and we had a nanny, I could tell that it wasn't going to work for our family. So about 4 months after going back to work, we made the decision for me to go part time, cut my hours in half. And I saw it as an opportunity to eventually leave and stay home, which seemed like the only other option besides working full-time. But the longer I worked part-time, the more I realized this is perfect for me. I still was able to contribute to the family. I was still able to maintain my professional experience and serve others and have the time with my daughter that I needed.
This is one of the things that makes business people some of my favorite people on the planet. They're consistently on this journey, struggling through life balance decisions, family, their passions, their commitments to their customers, certainly growth year over year. Once you've gotten into the business scenario, you've got employees, we call them team members, that you've now put yourself out there and said, I'm going to be responsible to make sure that you and your families are provided for, and just consistently struggling through that balance and figuring out, you know, what's too much and how do I, you know, not grow the business at the expense of the family or, you know, be so focused on family that the business starts to flounder. And, you know, there's not a formula for that. And, you know, I just applaud business owners who do that. I think that it is the thing that makes me want to stand up and cheer when we see a business owner winning, because this is not easy stuff that business leaders have to wade through.
That's right.
And you've dealt with that. I mean, in your business experiences in the past. But what do you think is the thing that, you know, if you're a business leader kind of listening and empathizing with maybe where Shannon was in that point of a decision on, do I go part-time? Do I go full-on with the business? Do I just stay home with the kids? What's the best advice you would give somebody who's still at that crossroads? Because I know a lot of our listeners are still there today.
I would say if you're married, you don't go it alone. I think you lay the cards on the table. You talk to your spouse about your dreams, your hopes, as well as your fears. And I think one of the things that I've found is that when you get people in the boat together, rowing in a direction, you're going to get there faster. And so it's a team decision. It's not a I or a me. It's a we. And so I think for leaders, if you'll just keep that openness, keep the lines of communication going, it's an incredible opportunity to remain flexible. So you don't have to break. The family doesn't have to break. The business doesn't have to break. But you're able to bend and kind of go with what you need to and make the best decisions you can for yourself and your family.
But let's be realistic. Most of the time in any couple, in a marriage situation, someone's always pushing the gas down. Someone's always pushing the brakes. And for the person who's pushing the gas that has the vision for this business and they're going, if we could just get going quicker, you know, everything will be fine. You're saying go at the speed of the person who's got their foot on the brakes. That can be frustrating. That could take longer.
Oh, that would drive someone crazy, yeah. Especially someone like you and I. I think it's the give and take. I think you can let up off the gas a little bit and the person can let up off the brake. But you have to go back to why. Why are we willing to do this? Why are we trying to accomplish this? If it's for self-gratification, that's the wrong motive. If it's for the improvement of the family, now everybody can get buy-in. And I'm not saying that can happen overnight, but you can begin to have intelligent discussions and really be prayerful on it and really talk openly about it so you can come to a conclusion that everybody can live with. And here's the deal, Daniel, that it's not a permanent decision, that we're going to agree to go back and review this and we'll make changes when we need to.
Chris, I completely agree. And one of the coolest things that's kind of a caveat to Brian and Shannon's story is they were feeling that pinch in their family and making those decisions about priorities. And they kind of had this light bulb moment where they said, hey, there's probably moms out there who are still in the same kind of scenario going, I want to be a career out now. I got to be mom. And they said, maybe there's a workforce there. There's an opportunity for us to serve those moms, give them dignity, and have an opportunity to work and utilize that to continue to grow and scale our business.
The option that I experienced in going part-time was a third option that I didn't know existed before. And I knew that if I had to go through that process and figure out a good way for work-life balance to happen in our family, that surely other women in America were struggling with the same thing. And it was clear early on, just through our immediate circles, that there were a lot of women who struggled with that. They went to college, they pursued their careers, they started to have a family and took a step back, and then what? The kids go to preschool, the kids go to elementary school, and you're left with a huge chunk of time during the day where you can be contributing outside of the home, but you don't want to go back full time. And so the opportunity we've been able to create for women in the U.S. and men as well is a viable third option that didn't exist before.
It's very rewarding to see that happen. It's mind-boggling to hear the stories and see like a great lady that's college educated that, you know, wants to have good work-life balance but be with her kids. You know, have something with meaning and a great paycheck, and it's a legitimate work from home option, and they're in Iowa, and they can work with a large $1 billion company in Chicago and feel like they're contributing, you know, and they're interacting and they're highly integrated with each other, and it's insanely rewarding to be part of that process.
So Chris, the thing that I love here, so if you're listening, you're going, well, I don't have a need to help stay-at-home moms come in and be a part of my workforce. How does this translate to me? The principle at play is innovation. And if business leaders have to be good at anything, it's seeing and sensing a pain point and then coming up with a way to innovate around that pain point. That's exactly what they did. And as a result of being innovative and taking that pain point with the workforce that they've brought on and taking the pain point with the marketplace, which is these leaders that need administrative support, then all of a sudden they sync those two things up and it's like, bam, there's a business opportunity. Mm. And their business is thriving as a result, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We've been in business, you know, technically for about 2.5 years at this point, 10 quarters. And every quarter we've had double-digit growth every quarter. And then, you know, every fiscal year we've had triple-digit increases. And I think what it tells me is that there's a viable model. The market's responding well. We've got wonderful market advocates. We've got clients that are amazing offline salespeople for us, and we plow into them and we resource them and we thank them. And we've got a good set of momentum right now that we're extending ourselves to, or we're taking our profits in our business and putting all that back in our businesses. We're fueling the engine, we're priming for growth. I mean, today we have those numbers translate to 170 lives on payroll right now for us, and just trying to be a really good steward of that and be a responsible leader is it's an exciting and sometimes paralyzing and sometimes overwhelming, but sometimes just really energetic feeling that comes with knowing that, you know, God's using us in a pretty cool way.
Chris, you go speak to thousands of business leaders every year. We see them at our events, and we're working with business leaders all the time. And I've seen many times where a business leader will feel like the dignity in what they're doing by owning and running a business is shallow. They feel like maybe they're too selfish, or maybe they're in it. And certainly the press, and there's a culture now that just says that to be a business owner and to run a company for profit is evil,
yes.
You know, and then there's no dignity in that. But that's not how Brian and Shannon feel. And that, I mean, how do you reconcile that sentiment that's out there that's antagonistic towards business owners with something like what Brian and Shannon are doing?
Well, I think business owners are the backbone of our country, small business owners. And I think, you know, everybody, we've all worked for a great leader. We've all worked for people that have really spoken into your lives.
Hopefully.
And yes, if not, they're in process, right?
If not, get out and go find one, because they're out there, right?
But when you work for somebody that is a great leader, something happens. You do your job and you do your duties well, but they also help grow you. As an individual, they see you more than just a widget. They see you as a life. They see you as somebody that matters. And I tell you, that does something to somebody internally. That loyalty, that's where loyalty comes in. And somebody, they want to do a good job because you respect that leader. You respect the business. And so you push yourself harder. And I think if leaders out there, if you will start to look at your team as an individual that is a representative of a family, there are people counting on this person. They have to do well. You can lead them. You can take them to higher ground.
You could lead them, and I would take it a step farther and say you should take your check to the bank with a smile on your face, because you went through the struggle, you figured it out, you've had to figure out how to balance the challenges and demands of business with having a family and all of these things that you're committed to, and you've been winning as a result of making these great decisions along the way, to the point that you're providing an opportunity for people who otherwise wouldn't have any. And there's dignity in that. And that's an altruistic, virtuous thing that business leaders should be proud to pursue. So Chris, at this point in the interview, you had a lot of face time with Brian and Shannon. What's something that you were sensing that they had really honed in on that was special, or that you were picking up on that had a lot of value in it?
One of the areas that really jumped out at me was they really, really understood the need for not only understanding delegation, but teaching leaders how to delegate and how that can free them up and help them win.
I think you have to start small. When you turn over your calendar or some particular tasks that are impending or projects that you're working on, and give somebody an opportunity to prove themselves to you through doing those things well, then you can build. You don't want to turn over probably your email day one. That's just a big monster.
Yeah, I don't think so, Shannon.
You know, it took me, you know, this is my company, and it took me about a year to do that. So giving, and Dave talks about it with the analogy with the rope and that whole deal of, you know, delegating small pieces at a time, trusting, giving somebody an opportunity to prove themselves. I have a new executive assistant myself personally. And what I'm learning is what our clients go through every day when they're onboarding is, you know, my style of training her is not necessarily her style of learning. So we use DISC personality profiles, and I look at that and think, okay, I need to communicate to her differently. I need to provide her with different tools. I need to help her prioritize. I need to set deadlines. And all of that has helped with onboarding, and our clients go through the same thing, whether they've had an assistant before or this is their first time, because we do work with a lot of entrepreneurs. One thing that's remarkable to me is, you know, Brian and I are very passionate about this. We went all in, right? Day one, we were all in. I'm amazed at how many people are as passionate about our business as we are. And I think that if entrepreneurs just open themselves up to see there are people who care about you, who want to come alongside you and partner with you and see you successful, and not to feel guilty about that. I don't know if it's a woman thing, but there's a guilt factor almost in that for me to give things away and let somebody else do my tasks for me or manage the results. Or, you know, that there's a guilt factor. But once I let that go, I've been amazed at how passionate the team is, and I've seen it in our clients and our EAs, of how passionate the assistants are to serve the leaders. It's amazing.
This is not cannonball in the pool. This is dip your toe in the water and we'll work our way in. We'll wade in together in that process. But, you know, the other part of it too for me is that a lot of leaders will say, well, you know, that I just, it's just easy. I just can do that. And it'd take me forever to train that. That is just the most nonsense logic I've ever heard. When you basically come at it from a different angle on the cost per hour.
Right.
And you talk to them, okay, if you continue to do this, how much money are you wasting your organization? Are you being a really prudent leader? No, you're not. And you know, you run the math with them and they're like, okay, I need to do this.
And yeah, it's eye-opening.
Yeah.
Now, Daniel, throughout your years being here with Entree Leadership, we've obviously seen a lot of family businesses, a lot of husband-wife teams. That's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you don't ever get to be away from your business partner, and you don't ever get to be away from your spouse. So I'm not sure that could be great, or that could be that could be tumultuous, if, depending on the scenario. But yeah, it's very common, and I think we see that with Brian and Shannon. Most business owner husband wife combos that we've talked to, I think, would tell you it's absolutely worth it. Being able to work with your soulmate on something that's meaningful, there's a lot of upside. And I think the key is there's just probably some boundaries there and yes. healthy guidelines that you need to set up for how you're going to communicate about work and about family and when's the right time and place to have those conversations.
It honestly, I hear husbands and wives say, oh, I could never work with my spouse. That would never work. And it, you know, they're probably right, but it's sad to me because I've been able to partner with him on an entirely different level than if he had gone and pursued this on his own and I had taken a different path. It's brought us together. It's helped us know each other a lot better. And it has been both the most exciting and terrifying thing we've done together, for sure.
You know, for 10 years before we started this thing or more, you know, I saw her work in a really complex environment and master that really well. So for me, like when she said, hey, I want to do this with you, it was like, cool. I'm getting to have this amazing talent do this with me. You know, so I was able to see her as my bride, but also as this amazing employee, you know, and this person that would be a great owner in our business. I've seen her deal with insane complexity, millions of dollars of, you know, software integrations and all sorts of different hospital environments and things like that. I mean, so for me, it was like, yeah, well, you know, this is a no-brainer. I think practically how it plays out each day is that we just are two different people and two different skill sets. You know, the things that she's about in our business are not the things that I'm about. And we complement each other very well in that process. Mm-hmm. And I think it starts with a great deal of trust in each other, but I think it also starts with each day with a healthy respect for the talents that she brings to the team that I don't have.
What seemed like tension in the beginning, because, you know, when you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills, every small problem is amplified, is now, I think, one of the greatest strengths that we bring to our team is being that different and that opposite, but respecting where each other comes from. One key thing that I learned early on is we literally sit side by side in an office together. And even though we sit side by side in an office together, it doesn't mean that we both know what each other is working on. And there was just this assumption that knowledge was going to be transferred through osmosis in the beginning. And I can't believe you're asking me that. Didn't you know that? And, you know, it became obvious we were out of sync on some very key things. And so I took a step back and I said, okay, if we weren't sitting side by side, and if Brian weren't my husband, how would a COO report to a CEO? What kind of information should I be communicating to him? What does he need to know? What do I need from him as the visionary? And I don't know, maybe 6 months or so into our business, we instituted monthly executive meetings where we stop, you know, take the husband and wife sitting side by side factor out of it. Let's function like a company where a CEO and a COO come together and calibrate for the better of the team. That was a huge mind shift for me.
We wanted to find out what was some great advice that they had gotten along the way. And we wanted them to be able to share that with you all, our Entree Leadership community, and really hear from them some great advice that they had learned.
From minute one, decide to own your business, not run your business. Empower leaders. you know, it took us a while to realize that this wasn't about us and to get out of the way of that and to really start to see that leaders, if you want to be successful and grow a business, you're going to have to get out of the way of it to some extent. It doesn't mean you take your hands off the wheel, but you basically decide to own a business, not run it, and you empower your leaders. So that's the first piece of advice that has been, we refer to that quite often.
Mm-hmm. Another piece of advice would be to not chase all the shiny things. Mm-hmm. Find what works. Find what, you know, what you're passionate about and where there's a need, and focus on that. And don't get distracted by the big organizations that want you to create something custom for them, or, you know, change your model to accommodate, you know, a handful of customers' needs. It might be fun and it might be exciting and there might be something there, but be very cautious when presented with those opportunities.
It dawned on me when we were at the Tucson event for the Master Series that I watched Dave throughout the week just articulate who he was. Mm-hmm. And that was such a the content was amazing, but watching him be who he was on stage, and I sense that he's that way here and everywhere. Just be you. You know, it gave me permission. I told Shannon this when we were, you know, not too long after we got back, that, you know, I'm going to start being Brian Miles and leading this thing the way I know I need to lead this. And it was just this empowering thing to see that, you know, God's equipped me to be the leader who I am, and that's Brian Miles, not anybody else. And so I'd encourage anybody that's starting out to, as you're thinking this through, don't try and adapt to some, you know, guy that's got a great book out there currently today. Be you, because that's who you're going to be long term.
Well, Chris, that was a lot of fun. I love their story, and I love the stories of small business owners who are winning. That's what we're all about at Entree Leadership. So thanks for having me in today. This was fun to get to chat about the conversation that you had with Brian and Shannon. It's really cool.
I really appreciate you being here. That was fun. So if you want information about Brian and Shannon, you can go to eahelp.com. Again, we want to thank them for taking the time to sit down and have a conversation with me. I also want to thank Daniel Tardy for joining us in studio. Daniel, thank you.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm just thrilled that you let somebody that's got a voice that's two octaves higher than yours actually come in here and share a microphone. And I'm trying to get it lower. I've been drinking the kombucha stuff. They say that drops it down. Someday I'll get there.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming in. I always love hearing your wisdom and your insight as you're growing this Entree Leadership brand. Now, Daniel, you had an opportunity to sit down with another Entree leader down in Orlando and have a conversation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Brian Currier has a technology company in Florida, and he's just crushing it. And we were down there for our Orlando one-day event, and I had a chance to dialogue with him. Don Haney, our producer, went down and had the microphone set up. And so we had a conversation about his story. And again, I mean, we want to continue to find these really cool stories of business leaders winning in the marketplace and share them with our podcast listeners, because I just think it's so inspirational. You know, it's fun to hear that Dave's winning and all the great advice from Dave and our team. But I think it's as fun and as encouraging when you can hear one of your peers in the marketplace who's being successful. That there's a lot of hope in that. There's a lot of opportunity to use this podcast to tell these stories. So that's what we did with Brian. We're going to have that coming up on our next episode, I think.
Very good. Now, remember to follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership, or email me your questions at podcast@entreeleadership.com. So, hey, Daniel, do you want to take it from here?
Okay, I'll do my best. Hey, stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff. Keep learning and keep leading. Until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profits.